I am so excited and honored and thrilled to be backstage again with Stefan Denev, our maestro for today.
Hello, nice to speak with you and nice to make music for all of you and to the listeners.
You have brought us a true sonic feast today. Stefan, you began with Berlioz's Roman Carnival Overture, which is really one of the most brilliant overtures in the whole repertoire. It looked as if it were sheer joy to conduct.
It's an incredible energy. I mean, Berlioz for me is always a workout because, I mean, usually after just 10 minutes of Berlioz, I'm already sweaty, I'm afraid, just because he has an incredible way to make the orchestra dance and shine, and it's virtuosic. It's just, for me, Berlioz is just a crazy composer.
Perfect way to open the program. And speaking of virtuosity, then you treated us to a wonderful interpretation with your colleague, Nicolas Angelich, of Saint-Saëns Concerto No. 5 for the piano. Saint-Saëns seems to have such a joie de vivre even in his most serious compositions. Do you admire that about him?
Oh, I of course respond a lot to joy in general. I mean, the curiosity and joy for me are very, very important qualities in life. And Saint-Saëns is giving us that. It's very touching to know that he played the concerto himself with the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's in the gene of the orchestra to have played this piece with him. And tonight, also, the Pines of Rome is also a piece that the composer himself conducted with the Philadelphia Orchestra. So myself in awe that I can conduct this piece here, and also with a friend very close to me, because Nicolas Angelich is a pianist I met when I was 17. He's American, but he moved to Paris when he was 13 to study with Aldo Ciccolini in the Conservatoire de Paris. And I met him at the Conservatoire. I have to admit now, it's strange that we are friends since almost 30 years. And he's a wonderful pianist.
He really is. He brought so much color and sensitivity, as well as brilliance, to that performance. In a few minutes, you'll be giving us another taste of Guillaume Connaisson, the third part of the trilogy that you presented this season. Today's is focusing on Italy. It has such a beautiful title in English, "And the River Shimmers in the Valley." Tell me about that.
Well, in Italian, I must say it's a beautiful title, but it's quite unpronounceable. It's "E chiaro nella valle il fiume appare."
Very good.
I'm lucky enough as a French to speak Italian too, actually, and to speak Italian better than English, I think. So it's a verse from Leopardi, and it's a beautiful poem who speaks about after the thunderstorm, the rebirth of the nature. And Guillaume captures this very vulnerable, very fragile moment where suddenly a rainbow could appear. And I really love this piece because Guillaume Connaisson was able to capture the essence of Italy, which is the lyricism, the vocality. Of course, we know this is the country for opera. And it's touching for me that Guillaume today is able to really create so many melodies that have this flavor of generous Italian lyrical opera.
So we can expect to hear some beautiful melodies in the piece you're about to conduct by him.
Definitely, you will hear a lot of melodies, actually many, one after the other. They quasi all of them are from Guillaume. There are two quotes. One is not so hidden. At a beautiful, peaceful moment, you will hear from distance a trumpet with mute and a clarinet playing together as if it was a new instrument. And the melody makes ta-da-dee-dom, ta-da-dee-dom. And it's actually a Napolitan melody called Voca Voca. You will hear that melody. And at another moment, he also quotes very discreetly, you won't find it, actually, Pagliacci, the opera. But apart from those tiny, tiny quotes, the rest is indeed only Guillaume's amazing gift for melody. I love that because I love to sing when I'm conducting.
Well, we can't wait to hear that. And then to close the magnificent program of today, you'll conduct The Pines of Rome by Respighi. It was written at a time when other composers like Schoenberg and Stravinsky, Prokofiev, Shostakovich, they were pointing music in a much more modernistic direction. Why is it that almost 100 years later, the Pines of Rome remain significant?
It's very interesting that we seem to have, after the Second World War, reevaluated the importance of a piece by its so-called modernity. And I'm not reactionary, really, really I'm not. I mean, I believe that everything in art should somehow have a connection to its time. But I think that we're in a postmodern world, indeed, where we should care less about what is new for the sake of being new. For me, what is important is that people are alive, and it's very normal that newborn people at some point in their life will say, I love you, to somebody else. And many people have said, I love you. I hope everybody said, I love you in any century, in any. And what is important is how you say it and how you make it new by the just sheer real emotion.
Tell us about the beautiful old phonograph that the stagehands are placing right now next to the harp.
Oh, I'm so pleased with that, actually, because in 1924, when Respighi premiered his piece, Mind of Rome, he had the cutting-edge idea for the time to use a new technology, which is the recording, to actually incorporate birds to his orchestration. It's fantastic that he had this idea. Nowadays, of course, usually you use a CD and you use the loudspeaker of the hall. And it's slightly, for me, less poetic than this very touching moment where a real phonograph is used, like in 1924, with a vintage bird from the 78. And so I wanted to recreate this emotion. And I'm pleased that the Philadelphia Orchestra found old gramophone and the right 78, and that we could offer to the audience, in a way, a paired instrument style interpretation where we will show what was the original idea of Respighi. And it sounds extremely poetic, really. I found this moment very special.
Will you have a dedicated bird player?
It's Chris Devine that actually is making the phonograph start. And it's not easy at all because I don't know if you recently tried a phonograph of the 1920s. But yes, you have to change the needle, start the 78 the right way, and then be not too nervous when you put the needle on the 78. This piece of Respighi is so creative. I just wanted to do a little bit what Stokowski, former music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra, did with the orchestra, which is to be very open-minded and creative about the sound world. And so for the end of the piece, for instance, there are six brass, four trumpets and two trombones, which are usually played close to the stage. And in this case, I decided to put them in very different part of the hall that it gives a kind of surround sound. And I think it really, this search for special sound effect really fits actually the history of the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's very, very famous Philadelphia sound, and it is the culture that Stokowski started to offer something unheard and unique.
Well, we can't wait to hear your unique and special interpretation, Stéphane Deneuve. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much. And enjoy Rome.